So the Orinos folder is, in a very small way, my attempts to help achieve a certain situation I'd like to see in the world. And in particularly my world, you know, and I think, you know, the people that are, you know, genuinely, you know, into this, it's something that they would like to see. And the best way I've got of describing it is, when you look at, your television screen, maybe you're watching a programme with friends, and there's that, is it Phoebe or Chloe or something like that, the blonde-haired woman, who is the I mean, I wouldn't say she's a nutty conspiracy theorist, you know, but they call her Cookie. There's always something that's a bit sort of out there that's in every friends group, you know. The way I'd like to see it is, you know, the sort of people who are normal in friends, like Phoebe is the one that say, you know, she stands out because she says certain things that are truthful, that are a bit sort of inconvenient in that TV show. You know, I'd like it to be that the ones that are kind of normal within that Friends sitcom, just one of them, and everybody else to be like a kind of Phoebe, where it's just like normal conversation to talk about how corrupt society is. And you know, there was one thing that I seen, I wasn't like a big, I doubt that, like, Friends is one of the TV shows that I seen, I must have seen a season and a bit of it. I haven't watched too much TV in my life, for reasons you'll understand. But she was we're sitting here in the living room watching, you know, two-dimensional people on a TV screen, where there's three-dimensional people in the living room. Why don't we talk to three-dimensional people instead of listening to what the two-dimensional people have to say, you know? And in a kind of sort of way, she's expressed something that's a bit sort of inconvenient, you know, it's a bit embarrassing but true sort of thing, you know. I would like that sort of situation to be a little bit. Phoebe was, you know, if there's six people in the Friends thing, I know there's other people that are sort of side characters, but you get those six characters, and I couldn't name them all, you know. But you know, it's five characters of normal people, and there's one Phoebe. I would like the world to be surrounded by Phoebes, you know, and just the one normal person. You know, I'd like to see that coming about. If I couldn't bring that about in the world, which is, you know, the world's got many cultures, this would never, you know, make sense to somebody that's living in Tanzania, you know, because it's such a different, not everyone in Tanzania has a television, you know. But, you know, you get the idea that anyone that wants a television in Britain can get one, simply by saying, I don't have a television, can I have a television? And, you know, people would sooner provide you a free television than free food in this country. That's how fucked up it is. And I'm guessing that in Tanzania, with a guy like Maga Fuli in charge, how could he have even been picked if the Tanzanians were all fucked up apart from Maga Fuli? You know, Maga Fuli has to be fairly representative of Tanzanian people, you know, comparatively speaking. Maybe he's rich, wealthy and powerful, and there's probably some corrupt dodgy practices that went on at Maga Fuli's hands, and some gossip that isn't true, and maybe some things suppressed that are true, you know. But as a general rule, you know, I would reckon that, you know, in Tanzania, he's more culturally appropriate to the people of Tanzania than Britain. So when I'm saying, you know, to have a world full of Phoebes rather than a world full of, it's obviously, you know, within that mainstream media culture, I'd like in my own life, you know, to be surrounded by Phoebes. And, you know, maybe you'd have a Matt LeBlanc or something like that. You know, I don't know which particular characters are in it, you know, but just any one of them randomly. You know, and it's we're all, as they call it, conspiracy theorists, but there's always one advocate of the system amongst every group of friends, and we like them, and we appreciate the fact that they exist, you know, but generally we don't pay much attention to them because they're a bit crazy. That's the world I would like to see, you know, for, you know, people in our sort of societies, you know, obviously not Tanzania, but, you know, if the glove fits, wear it. I've never been to Tanzania, but I get the idea that, you know, it's going to be a dramatically different culture from, you know, if I was going to Belarus or something, I'd love to be surrounded by Phoebes, you know. And I keep mentioning Belarus and Tanzania for reasons which will, you know, come to mind as you're listening more and more to these audio cast that I'm doing, the talk folder of Orinos.org. So You know, that's the world I'd like to see, just to be surrounded by it. It's not like the, what we're truthers, you know, it sounds so, you know, exciting, a truther. What is a truther? And it's boring, it's just somebody that speaks the truth. Like, for somebody that speaks the truth, it's just like, aye, what about that, you know? But for somebody that's constantly lying, cheating, deceiving, just as a way to exist, you know, it's a startling, maybe even terrifying idea that people are speaking truthfully. And you see it when you're looking at these political circuses, you know, on your YouTube or whatever it is you're seeing what the news from, you know, and you kind of get the idea that some politicians are being called mavericks because they speak truth, which is inconvenient, whereas the proper thing to do would be to conceal the nature of the stuff. Because, like, you know, people within political circuits could suffer because somebody has in the political circuit, so has betrayed the political circuit to tell the people they're supposed to be representing the truth, you know. That's, yeah, it's a bit of a Phoebe thing to say, and I hate to go on about like a mainstream media production, but I'm assuming that, you know, some people that are coming here, are people who are like, what is conspiracy theorists really? What do the conspiracy theorists say that they are? You know, well, I'm what the mainstream media calls a conspiracy theorist. And what I'm telling you they mean by that is anyone that's critical of the regime is a conspiracy theorist. Anybody that's speaking inconvenient truths about the regime is a conspiracy theorist. And that's all it's meaning. That's all it ever meant. As for the, you know, there's a phrase, conspiracy and theory are the two words. Theory is in regards to speculation, something that hasn't been proven yet. Many of the so-called conspiracy theories are like proven fact, you know, it's not just gossip that Saddam Hussein does not have weapons of mass destruction available in 45 minutes. You know, that's kind of proven. Would he not have used them before getting his regime destroyed, you know? So just like Saddam Hussein's regime was destroyed because he, you know, he invaded Kuwait and he was killing his own people, well, the regime here is invading countries and killing their own people. So what's the difference? You know, is it because Saddam Hussein's brown, I'm supposed to hate him, but when white guys do the exact same evils, I'm supposed to love them? And apparently I'm racist, you know, this is, you know, the gossip and the lies and the personality attacks, etc. You know, we just ordinary, boring, truthful people, that sort of stuff doesn't happen, you know. And there are, you know, misunderstandings, you know, it's like, well, I heard that you said, and it's like, I didn't say it. And it's like, why would you not say it? And it's like, well, because, you know, you could actually, but the evil within our world, you know, are very, like, when they speak, they're not speaking the truth, you know, when they speak, their goal, they have a goal to persuade you to believe something. And you can't even say, like, they believe it to be false, and they don't even care whether it's true or false. When they speak, they're speaking to persuade you of something, they don't even care whether it's true or false. It's just a you know, reckless deception going on amongst the evil people in the world, and often they're up to their neck in evils they've committed in the past. Like, how many people are innocent of the Nuremberg Code violations of 2020? And I don't just mean the people that just, like, injected people, knowing full well that information was being censored and there was a lot of propaganda, that informed consent could not be acquired at that situation. I mean the independent fact chokers, you know, the people sponsored by Facebook who are themselves money laundered, funded by government. It's the way that Facebook gets its money is directly from indirectly from government. The government basically gives ordinary people money, free money, but they're only allowed to spend that money on Facebook. So where's the money going to go? And what is that money? It's money they've collected through taxes. All that money is the labour that people have done to fund propaganda. False information, claiming the truthful information is false information. And, you know, if you do science, it's the study of nature, you know. What is going on in nature? Did the vaccines work? When people got the vaccines, were they protected from acquiring the contracting the disease? No. Were the vaccines effective? No. What was the official story? Has there ever been an apology for the official story? Has there ever been an apology to the reputation of all of those who were affected by their official story? Would they even defend their official story, even at the point where it's absolutely ludicrous to believe the vaccines were effective? And as for the safety of them, you would have to believe a completely provably false narrative, scientifically provable false narrative. You would have to believe them not to even recognise the many, many victims of lethal effects of the vaccine, as well as chronic, life-lasting effects of the vaccines. And they force that into people using coercion, persuasion, propaganda, psychological warfare, censorship and various other crimes against humanity, which included lockdowns. You know, you weren't allowed to leave your house unless it was for a commercial purpose, such as going to the shop or going to a work where essential workers as opposed to just ordinary people. So if you're an essential worker, you're ashamed to be in that category, you know. Don't come to this channel, I'm not interested in it. We are here to denounce crimes against humanity that happened in 2020, but crimes against humanity that happened in two, you know, the 2020 was not the first time they were violating the Nuremberg Code. 2007, the Netherlands, to be fair, it's the European Union vassal state of the Netherlands, introduced legalised suicide clinics in Anne Frank's home country. And the people who were around about the same time, David Icke, was expressing concern about the plans to introduce COVID-19 narrative, the COVID-19 story, as was pre-written in a script by John Hopkins University, that they were planning to do this. It's a complicated state of affairs getting used to, you know, what used to be in your mind nutty conspiracy theory that could never happen here, and you're actually seeing the conspiracy unfolding before you. And you're surrounded by people who are saying, you're not like the nutty conspiracy theorists, are you? Ridiculing you, mocking you, like I was saying in the last audiocast. It's not an easy thing to wake up to how bad the situation is, and it is very bad. Sometimes I'll introduce humour. It's a very tragic situation, you know, there's this a situation where I'm guessing maybe about 2005, something like that, right? So I'm awake and aware to how corrupt the system is, you know. And I'm in a chat room and there's somebody saying the politicians are lying. Now, I myself, maybe I've done this wrongly, but I mocked the person and was like, in a very light-hearted way, you know. I said the politicians are lying with the shocked expression smiley. And then with the laughing out loud smiley. But what I was trying to, you know, convey to them was like, aye, we know the politicians are lying. And the fact that you don't realise that that's actually quite, you know, it's a very tragic situation. But once you're over the tragedy, you know, you can start to see the funniness of, you know, the situation you're in. Not that it's a funny situation. It's you're traumatised by, you know, you're living in a system of slavery, and that's just the way it is, and you have to go over that trauma just to survive, or they're going to kill you. You know, the one thing that stands between, you know, the truth and the lie, you know, is the fake democracy. And it's always on TV, who are you voting for today? Or a politician says this, and it's irrelevant, you know, they're all picked and chosen by, you know, the people that control the media corporations, well before it reaches a ballot box. And when they're going about ballot box rigging, it's like the ballot box is even important. You can only vote for a single party state pretending to be a democracy. Now, these are very serious, traumatic, you know, understandings that you're gaining. And when you look at our stupidity for not even noticing what is kind of bleeding obvious, you know, you'd have to look at yourself and laugh and say, like, how stupid could I have been, you know? I mean, you're seeing other people going through the same thing. There is a bit of a giggle saying, like, there's somebody else that's coming through for, you know, where they were at. To, you know, they used to believe in Santa Claus, and now you realise Santa Claus was just a kind of story. It's like that. And, you know, if you're, like, 57 and you're only waking up to the fact the government's corrupt, you're way behind. Way, way, way behind. the fact that you've woken up makes you more valuable than somebody that hasn't woken up, but it certainly makes you more valuable than somebody that's trying to put people down, you know, to make them fall asleep, you know, to keep them deceived into this delusion that they get any say over what the master race wants them to do next. We're now in the gig economy, and despite, you know, everything, oh, we're the working class party, and we're the trade unions, and we're the civil rights protection organisation. How did the gig economy even get in? And, you know, the full story of the gig economy is not being reported, but there is next to no, well, your health and safety protections is kind of at the discretion of bosses that can cover their own arses. That's to say, you're not necessarily going to have your health and safety severely affected, but if it does happen, you might not even be aware of it because you're not getting proper training to work in freezing cold environments, for example, and the official story is it won't affect your health and safety, even though it will. There is no comeback for the people engaged in these, you know, wrongdoings from positions of authority over the people they're just killing, maiming. And that's just an ordinary workplace culture. And, you know, we're now post, like, that's what the world's like. It's full of fucking Nazis. So it's not good to just, you know, constantly dwell on, you know, how bad the world is. What some people do, I think, is just to pretend the world isn't the way it really is, so they can live in a delusion where they're happier. But, you know, it's a fake happiness, that you might as well start taking up heroin if you're so out of your face that you don't even know what's going on, the various pains it's caught you, you know, you can't even feel the pain anymore. It's, well, it's great, you know, but you're not doing anything to fix that matter, you know. And then there are people who are, that, you know, they go over the top of it, like, well, you know, they're enslaving me, that gives me the right to kill them. Now, I'm not saying you don't have the right to liberate yourself from slavery in all its forms, using all means necessary, but your own safety is also an important factor. So, you know, to go so deep into this that you're going to do something about it is also quite dangerous as well. Now, I'm not saying something shouldn't be done about it, but, you know, there was an old guy called Sun Tzu from ancient China who says, look, the general that makes more calculations is more assured of victory than the general that makes less calculations. If you're going to just jump in a knee-jerk reaction into a war on terror against these bastards, then you're going to end up looking like the United States after George W. Bush, if you survive. So, you know, it's not a good idea just to jump in and say, right, that's, fuck the bastards, you know, because they are bastards, you know, they've, you know, if your, you know, ancestors have handed you a world for you to live in, and these people have came for the same ancestors, and they've betrayed the brothers and sisters that their ancestors provided for them in order to have a nicer life, what happens to their connections? What happens to their ancestral? They're bastards, you know. They're no longer the brothers and sisters of the people they betrayed. They've decided to just enslave their brothers and sisters, and then when it suits them, they're going to virtue signaling about how humane they are to, you know, use some of the taxes that they steal from people to provide something for the poor. Not telling the full story of how, you know, there are circumstances where poor are just basically starved to death and swept under the carpet. So, you know, there's just too much corruption within the system to even entertain it in this. But less of a sense of humour about this, you know, we have been stupid not to even notice what should have been bleeding obvious. And we're waking up to that. Where are we? So there are some people here that would find, you know, it humorous to say we're stupid because we didn't know what they knew already. But when you look at what they've been doing, these sort of people, they've been sort of gaslighting us, trying to convince us of falsehoods being the truth and our truth to be something. We just say, yeah, your version of reality is unimportant. Just believe my version of reality. And our version of reality is we're living in a system of slavery where the governments and the civil servants and the various apparatus of the state is completely unaccountable to the people it taxes. And while that's going on, they've got propaganda, censorship, psychological warfare operations against those it's taxing. And the only way we can get these taxes is to work for effectively for free for the people that are printing money out of thin air. I mean, you call it a system of slavery. It's too short. It's too easy to understand. It's the kind of thing that a Sun reader, you know, when you read the Sun, it's like 5-word sentences. And it's very difficult to convey complexities like the monetary system and taxation and the complexities of the Income Tax Act. And the way that a Sun journalist would write a column in the Sun. But when you can say something that's a system of slavery, oh, well, that's not a conspiracy theorist. But when you can back it up by the information they would censor, then suddenly there's no conversation about the whole content of, well, why would you say the system's a slavery because of this? They put their fingers in their ear, I'm not listening. Because it's not convenient. It's not just putting their fingers in their ear saying, I'm not listening. It's putting their fingers in their ear shouting, I'm not listening, knowing what you're saying. And they'll go out of their way to prevent other people hearing from what you've got to say. But if you're just the lunatic, as they would want to depict you as, they would have no problems with a lunatic just going around saying things that anyone would recognise to be a lunatic. It's only criminally insane people that have these truthful people depicted as lunatics, because the real lunatics, the real raving monster mad mass murderers of Iraq, the people who committed the Nuremberg Code violations, the people who were killing granny in suicide clinics long before they started blaming the unvaccinated for further crimes against humanity, these are the criminally insane that deserve to be in jail. That would be something positive. That would be something fun. And you might say that's a terrible, vengeful thing. I'd say no, it's for the safety of our world. We are not safe while these people are at large. Once these people are jailed, our society can go on getting about our lives. It's pie in the sky, as you realise, but you remember in your childhood, you were told that society that I'm saying ought to be was the society that already was, and it wasn't, and now you've woke up to it. I'm telling you, there is a very deliberate and willful system of slavery deceiving you out your own mind, your own, you know, you have to reject your own life experience and preference to the bullshit artists on the television. Stop watching TV. If that's humour for you, you know, don't get me wrong, I've seen some, you know, humour that's got nothing to do with these kind of subjects, you know, but they're also like humour like Steve Hughes, George Carlin. It's very important, you know, to look at yourself and have a wee giggle at how stupid you've been, you know. To look at the world and see how stupid people are being. But, you know, this idea of like, oh, well, if you're using the good people, that means you're like Jesus, and Jesus would have saved us, then Jesus came to save sinners. And I'm a sinner, therefore you need to, you know, it's like, I'm going to keep punching you in the face, but you need to turn the other cheek. These people aren't remotely ready to, you know, walk the path of Jesus. Jesus sacrificed his life to protect the people of his own country. He didn't do it deliberately. You know what I mean? When you listen to the religions which are permitted to exist in these totalitarian dictatorships, it's a system of slavery. You know, the version of Jesus doesn't even exist. And when you read the Gospels, there's that Jesus, and then there's the widespread Jesus, which is really just a plastic figurine that mainstream media apparatus, the people with power and influence over the minds of the public, has made in their own image. Jesus was made in God's image, because Jesus was a man made in God's own image. He didn't go out his way to, I think I'll just sacrifice my life for these people. He did his best to protect these people from the corruption which was overtaking their world when the Roman Empire invaded. Or they didn't quite invade, they slowly but surely corrupted the society to the point you've got a whole bunch of occupying Roman soldiers who were the real people that actually killed Jesus, not the Jews, as governmentalist extremists would have us believe. Or of course the Muslims or the Russians or the anybody but the guilty. And you know, some of the guilty are Russians, some of the guilty are Muslims, some of the guilty are Jews. But to blame it on, you know, just one group that's got nothing intrinsically to do with the crimes against humanity being committed by people of all races. I'm not saying everybody from every race is guilty, but the guilty are comprised of many different races, many different religions, And if they'd ever, you know, taken to those religions as a thing for themselves as opposed to just a thing to pretend to the outside world, you know, they maybe not be engaged in these crimes against humanity. This is, you know, a phrase that was taught to me when I was a kid. Well, my grandmother that fought World War II was still alive, you know, and it came, you know, in tune with the words like human rights. We now live in a world that the mainstream media has that phrase human rights in the minds of public mean, oh, you mean the right to be gay, the right to be a transsexual, the right to cut your balls off and not have children, the right to be a victim of genocide. That's what the media has done within my lifetime to pervert the meaning of the phrase human rights. And they've not said that the public shall now perceive this. They've used psychological operations to manipulate the minds of the public to perceive words that used to mean one thing to mean something else. So when I'm using that phrase conspiracy theory, you know, I'm using the phrase conspiracy theory as coined by the mainstream media, as coined by the evil in our world. And it has got nothing to do with whether or not there is a conspiracy. It's got nothing to do with whether or not it's theoretical. You know, that phrase means people who say things which are not conducive to the state's purpose of exploiting us. That's all it means. It's all it ever did mean. You'll find that every time the media says that's a conspiracy theory, ask yourself, is that somebody who's saying something that's not conducive to the system's desire to exploit us by way of, you know, taxation and fake democracy and making up laws that are totally nothing to do with our traditions, you know? And you'll find that that is what's meant by conspiracy theory, but they're not going to say that, you know? They'll say it's a conspiracy theory, that's what conspiracy theory means, yet consistently, just like you can identify that consistently the vaccines don't work, so they're not effective, consistently when you use that word conspiracy theory, they're basically saying what George Orwell described as double plus ungood crime speak, you know, because you told the truth and the system needs the lies in order for its beneficiaries. And it's not we, the people who are, you know, getting all the tax subsidies and the special deals, special government contracts, and the special nice lifestyles at the expense of all us who are having to do all the labours for the system of slavery. It is what it is. And it's a horrible thing, you know, it's very nasty. It's, you know, the last thing you want to, you know, acknowledge is the fact that you're a slave. Because you know, what did the media want you to do? You can be anything you want to be. You want to be a rock star, you can be a rock star. And you're going to be a rock star one day, just keep the faith and you'll become a rock star one day. Or you want to be a big politician, no problem whatsoever, you know. And then at some point you're like, I'm having to acknowledge I'm a slave here. And a system so corrupt, I can't even find any place to speak it. So it's a horrible, horrible thing. And I'm not saying, like, don't dwell on it, because you're immersed in it, you know. But what I'm saying is that try and find, like, distractions created by your oil. If there's a thing called race, right, and it's like, well, Frank Bruno's black, he's a different race from me, I'm white. There's also a thing called ethnicity. And that's to do with, like, two people of the same race. It could be two people of different races sharing an ethnicity. A religion is, you know, two people that share a religion. It's not necessarily an ethnicity, but it's an indicator. A race is an indicator of ethnicity. But ethnicity is a sort of traditional values of a common people. So in a kind of sort of way, the nutty conspiracy theorists, as the mainstream media destroyed us with, you know, that character assassination, the hate speech, but the media, before they coined the phrase hate speech, we are, in a sort of sense, an ethnicity. It doesn't matter what your race is, doesn't matter what your religion is, you know right from wrong. And you know, all the system is advocated, all the mainstream media fanatics that are into their Nuremberg code violations and blaming the unvaccinated for killing the grannies that they wanted dead. They're not part of our ethnicity. They might be the same race, they might express that they've got the same religious values, but they don't have those traditional morals. And interestingly, you know, I could go to Russia, I could go to China, I could go to Native America, I could go to Federal America, I could go to South America, I could go to anywhere, I could go to Africa, I could go anywhere, and I would find people of the same ethnicity as me, because they've got moral values, because they know right from wrong, and they don't say, well, there is right and wrong, except for when the government does it. You know, the thing that's within them is knowing right from wrong. When the government commit wrong, they recognise it to be wrong. When the government do right, they recognise it to be right. More often the governments are doing wrong than right, because it's all built on a taxation and slavery. But there is no right's right and wrong's wrong, except for the government. You know, this is an ideology of the master race. This is slave and master being the way things ought to be. To acknowledge you're a slave is not to support slavery, but to acknowledge is a terrible situation that you and people like yourself need to be liberated from. And you're not going to be liberated from that by bullshit artists lying through their teeth telling you to believe a television. And if you know you're going to get your humour from television, what are you going to get? So there are, you know, some good comedians out there, and there are, you know, if you can go over the tragedy of the situation, you can find humorous, you know, anecdotes of things that are happening that just shouldn't be happening, and it's so fucking stupid. And if it wasn't for the tragedy of the situation, you'd be laughing at it, you know. And I think it is okay to laugh, you know, like I was saying, it's, oh no, the politicians are lying, it's, oh, the politicians are lying, ha ha ha, you silly, you know. And it's like, it's maybe not perfect, you know, because it was a bit of a mockery of someone just waking up sort of thing, you know. But, you know, you find that sort of, it's almost, they say that firemen get a special sense of humour. You know, they start making jokes about human kebabs, well, there's a burnt dead body sitting in the remains of a building that they've put the fire out in. So it's kind of like that. You almost gain a sort of dark sense of humour. And it's not so much that the dark stuff is nice and funny, it's just that the once you just have to accept the tragedy, because there's not a lot we can do about it. If there was something we could do about it, we'd have done something about it. But they've got us so locked down in every way, even beyond the 2020 lockdowns, even trying to discuss things on the internet is such a difficult thing, that I've decided to introduce this folder in the Oranos.org website, the talk section, the talk folder. You know, so there's not a lot we can do about it, so you just accept the tragedy, and when you do, you know, you start to see, you know, funny things that happen, and it is, you know, it's funny even though it's looking really fucked up what the situation is, you know. There's some guy, you know, sitting outside the United Nations headquarters in Paris, starving to death because he's gave up his citizenship and he's got nowhere to exist. Despite, you know, he's a human being living in the earth, he's also a birth certificate, living in the nation states of all the Nazis, you know. Nationalism was quite an extreme ideology when it was introduced. It's now pretty much normalised, you know. You know, like nations have always existed. Originally they existed, you know, wherever you know, I was saying in another channel that like, wherever a person from Kiev was living, you know, it was part of a Viking tribe called the Kievan Rus. Wherever they were living, that was where Kiev was, what became the state of Ukraine. And some of those Kievan Rus moved to Moscow. And that's the way nations used to be. It was just like a group of people, and they were united by the fact that they were all the same sort of family and ancestry and stuff like that, you know. Had the same bosses, or had managed to survive, you know, the worst forms of slavery when their tribes were taken control of by, you know, the family that rules over their fake democracy. The Peace of Westphalia changed all that, but the political borders were being manufactured. But, you know, for the most part, people were still living in, you know, what would be regarded now as feudalism, but we're still living in feudalism. The manners have expanded, you know. So I come from a place called Glasgow, and I think my family originally came from Ireland. But, you know, even then, we would have been living in the feudal overlord's manor. We expect to obey this feudal overlord, and we never get any say. There was no, you know, the right to vote for the working class, as meaningless as it's become. You know, we, the people that had to obey, never get a say in the orders that we were ordered to obey. It was a system of slavery. And it's just another system of slavery when you realise democracy's fake. And, you know, this feudalism has expired. We're now living in, you know, bigger countries, and you're not allowed to leave the country without the permission of the feudal overlord, and they tell you feudalism's abolished. the people that are running these systems are completely unaccountable. Even at the lower levels, the people you get to meet behind the government desks, can you hold them to account? I mean, you might think, well, I could get a lawyer. It's, well, can you afford a lawyer? And if you could afford a lawyer, can you get one that's going to win, or are they just going to, you know, sell out and say, I'm going to pretend to, you know, support this client that's paying me this amount, but at the end of the day, I don't want any trouble with government, so he's going to lose, but hey, I'm £200 richer. There is no justice system for the poor at all. You know, lawyers just aren't interested in you. And there's no legal aid. It's, you know, legal aid's a very specific circumstance, and they're never going to give you legal aid because you're suffering things that would be normalised, you know. They're only going to give you legal aid in, you know, extreme circumstances where the system itself is desirous to prevent something from happening. But if the system is desirous to continue human-on-human exploitation, or about stamping the human face forever, as George Orwell put it, you're not going to get legal aid to protect yourself from those people engaged in crimes against humanity within the system. And how many are there, you know, at the bottom of the system that are climbers? They want to get higher up this system of slavery to get even more power over even more people, while claiming, oh, I'm only seeking for more responsibility. And given the responsibility that they've had, and they've just shat all over their fellow countrymen. They're not the same ethnicity, they're a different breed, a different set of morals. You know, the people like us would only consider, you know, joining the police or something like that only under extreme pressure and, you know, under extreme, you know, like being press ganged into the military rather than just joining voluntarily. It's not our first instinct to go and kill and put people in cages and various stuff like that. You know, we would be thinking about it. It's like, well, how are we doing? And, you know, before I get very old, I start to realise that some of those people in chains are not there because they did anything wrong, but there because they were an inconvenience to a person who officially would say they were seeking a position of responsibility, but were truly seeking a position of power where they could, you know, do what they please to more people. And those people are claiming to be our protectors. We need protection from those people who are protecting the fuck out of us every single day. So you'll maybe hear wee bits and pieces, you know, that make put a smile on your face, you know. And it's good to sort of dwell on those sort of, you know, wee mini parts of joy that happen, you know. And rather than listening to their sort of humour, saying, oh, see that David Icke, haha, what an idiot. So the, I mean, I'm not a big fan of David Icke because I think he's a bit of a gatekeeper, you know. There's, without David Icke, I think people have been a lot less aware than what they are. But with David Icke, there is the limits on our ability to communicate with one another. Because to some extent, that same, you know, mad ideology of your TV consumers, if it's not on TV, it's not true. And, you know, there's people who, if David Icke isn't saying it, it's not true. And it's like, this is not, even David Icke wouldn't agree with that, you know. But it's still, you know, the way things are. You know, but the way they mocked, and I'll speak about David Icke a few days, he's iconic to me. And I don't just mean, you know, selling his television channel, his, you know, his internet, whatever you call that thing. But iconic in the sense that he's an icon of people who have suffered at the hands of the system and all its corruption, and, you know, they're visible, you know, whereas there's tons and tons, the vast bulk of people are suffering at the hands of the system, many unaware of the full extent to which they're slaves, and their story is never told in the media, at least David Icke's story. It's hard for them to suppress it, because people can always go to David Icke's own channel and say, well, what was the David Icke story? It became famous, then it became infamous, and then it became famous but for becoming infamous. And that's what I mean by an icon, someone that represents that situation that's happening for all people, that's, you know, the ordinary people. David Icke himself is not an ordinary people. He was like a mainstream media person, but, you know, like I was saying in earlier audio casts in this talk folder, You know, I don't expect there to be many people from the state, you know, civil servants, soldiers, police, those sort of people. But there is like a rare exception of someone that's like publicly denounced everything that he's been all about because he's woke up to how fucked up it was. Well, that's kind of David Icke. I was telling you earlier about an American soldier who went to war in Iraq over the false propaganda, and when he got there, he's like, well, I'm the terrorist. And he came out on stage saying, well, I'm the terrorist. That's another iconic David Icke sort of style thing, you know. He was on board with the media until he worked out how messed up it was, and then did his utmost to warn the television audiences that they were being manipulated and deceived into evil self-destructive practices, which you can see online. He's famous for it, but there's millions of people that are aware of this, but they're all being isolated from one another. There's all sorts of trickery employed in things like YouTube and so Instagram have, you know, invented and patented a technique of psychological manipulation. So you create an Instagram channel, I would never use any Meta products after my experience in Facebook. But you create an Instagram channel, right? And someone just finds you. Maybe you're doing knitting. Maybe it's about dog grooming. Maybe it's about anything at all, you know. Something non-controversial. But, you know, this tends to happen in the sort of areas where the system of slavery feels inconvenienced by people speaking the truth. And that's what you would call controversial. But you can see that there's no real controversy, except for the fact these people have to keep the waters permanently muddied to conceal what they're all about. You know, it's they're creating controversy out of nothing, because if the truth was well known, these people would perish. These people would be in jail. These people would be the folk that are seeking charity from good people in the world rather than, you know, good people at the bottom. Maybe even, you know, having to resort to occasional bread thefts and stuff like that just to stay alive. You know, the people that have never had it bad have got no concept that there are people that have never had it good. And there are some people who have had it bad a lot and have had it some good sometimes, but spare a thought for those who have never had it good. They've always been one trauma to the next trauma to the next trauma, trying to hold it together while other people are swanning about like the mainstream media is even relevant, you know. Frankly, I am insulted whenever I come across this, and I'm always like, well, you know, the guy has said something that's a bit insulting, but maybe it's because they don't realise. So you try and say something, they're like, I don't believe in TV because, and you know, some will be like, all right, okay, I can go along with that. And some of these are like, I can go along with that because that's the official story I'm going to tell. And some of them, I could go along with that, but sometimes I'm just like, well, that's because you're stupid, that's because you're an idiot, that's because I hate and ignore you. And it's like, if they're that hateful and that ignorant, what can they know about anything? They are basically television heads, in the sense that if you were to pluck their brain out and replace it with a television, when they're walking around, all they're doing is parroting off phrases that they've seen on TV. They don't have any cognizance of anything that's going on based in, you know, full immersion reality of what's actually going on, you know. They don't care about it. So I'm driving, I was working at the time as a taxi driver, and I'm driving up into the town centre to go and get more hires, and I seen this guy, a really rainy, stormy, freezing night, and this guy is in a sleeping bag that is sodden wet. And he's trying to shelter in a shop doorway. It's not even a shop doorway, it's a wee short bit of. And it's like, if you're living in this wonderful society, protected by the rule of law, but the governments are out there to help everyone, and you know, taxes are valid because they do so much good in the world. Explain this guy in the sogging wet sleeping bag. And I'm sure, you know, like I'm saying to you, the master race don't speak the truth. When they speak, their words sort of persuade you to believe something they don't even care about the truth of. It's in their interest that you believe something, and your mind is just something for them to play with. They regard, you know, if they regard you as a beast of burden automatically when they behave like that. Because, you know, if they were chaining your body, they're chaining your mind with their lies. And it's nothing to them, you know. And this isn't just your politicians, these are ordinary people you get to meet. You know, if I was to present that situation to them in a context where they were going to be honest, highly unlikely, you know, they wouldn't, what they'd actually do is start saying, well, it's probably the guy's own fault, maybe he was mentally ill, maybe it was this, maybe it was that, maybe it was the next thing, or maybe we're living in a system of slavery and that guy's of no more economic use, so he's just been killed off, exposed to the elements. Where's his welfare money? Where's a homeless shelter that's suitable for him? What is really, you don't even know, but you've decided it cannot possibly be that there could be any criticism of the system, because you've decided to hate and ignore anyone that has to raise issues in regards to the way things are, and we're not interested in your non-representative politicians, so don't start with that shit either. These people are installed in media corporations. It doesn't matter who you vote for, the media corporations are always in power. And there's people inside the media corporations that write the teleprompters. You know, just as much as the newscaster is too big to speak to you, and you trust the newscaster, and the newscaster couldn't give a shit about you. There are people even more powerful than the newscaster that you wouldn't even get to know who they were. They would conceal who it is that speaks the words that the newscaster tells. Every lie in the newscaster, just said it was the guy that wrote the teleprompter. When you told that lie, you know for a fact that when you're speaking, you're not necessarily speaking the truth. You're broadcasting this to the whole world on camera, and it's being exposed as a lie. So who was the person who told the lie that got you to repeat their lie? Who was the person that wrote the teleprompter? This is on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. It's like, no, we do need to know, because your lies caused a lot of crime. And as much as you did not write the teleprompter, you told those lies and you protected the person who wrote the lies. So you're as guilty as the other party. This is called joint and several liability in Scottish law, in civil law jurisdictions across the world, you know, and even common law jurisdictions. Probably the same language that gets used. But when it comes to the joint and several liability of the news corporations, the politicians that are installed by the media corporations, the various House of Lords and the various unelected apparatchiks at senior levels of the civil service, joint and several liability for the crime of slavery. Now, in their laws, you know, what passes for laws, there's no morals about it. There is such a thing as the abolition of the Slave Trade Act. It's illegal to trade in slaves. So long as you don't call them slaves and you can transfer them from one person that controls their life to another person that controls their life, and it's not called slavery, this is okay when you see the world as it's really working. But there's never been abolition of slavery, because slavery is a crime. In the view of the slave, slavery is wrong. This was the truth in ancient Egypt, it's the truth now. But for the system of slavery, it is never going to denounce its own existence. Without the slaves, there is no system, and the various people who thrive inside the system now have to work for themselves. They now have to do labour. You know, back in feudal times, you know, the times in the system would acknowledge to be feudal, it wasn't the master of the house that was collecting the firewood, it was a freezing cold peasant that would starve to death if he didn't. Whereas, you know, if he didn't collect the firewood and he starved to death, well, what's the master of the household going to do? Well, that peasant's dead. Clean up his body and go and get some firewood. If you can understand that in a feudal context, we're living in the modern world and the same shit is still going on. And they don't want that discussed. So this, you know, the talk folder within the Oranos.org website, there is no controversy about this. It is a simple state of affairs that you can be awake and aware of just by being an ordinary person that hasn't betrayed humanity for the system of slavery that you're living in. There is no controversy. But people that want to, you know, ignore bits and pieces of it and black out that, censor that, create distractions here, and, oh, look, there's a bunny rabbit. They'll create controversy where there is none. Vaccines, did they work? Where's the controversy? It's, you know, binary, you know, black, it either worked or it didn't work. And did it work? And if it didn't work, all those people like Fauci and all the celebrities and Bill Gates, etc., saying vaccines are safe and effective, the very minimum, everything they have to say in future, considering they killed a lot of people with their stupidity. Yeah, it's just stupidity, and I don't believe it is. As I'll explain with Bill Gates as an example shortly. You know, they can't be trusted because they were so fucking stupid at a very minimum that they caused lethal effects of their fake medicine to kill loads of people. And the BBC, you know, the mainstream media, is still going to look at this wall to the people that died during COVID. And they're still not apologised for the slander that it was the unvaccinated that was killing Granny, when the actual reality was Granny was being killed by unsafe and ineffective vaccines missold by television corporations. Now, in regards to whether it's just the stupidity of these people who should never ever be trusted ever again, or whether it's by deliberation, Bill Gates, it was either February 2018 or February 2019, a year or 2 years before the lockdowns, he's on stage, public TED Talk, and you'll be able to find this online if the TED Talk website's still around. Bill Gates on stage, showing the audience his calculations for genocide. There are about three countries in the world where the crime of genocide is not punishable by the rule of law. You know, according to their own system. Of course genocide is, but you know, the victims of genocide, if they survive, have every right to destroy those who remain an extant threat to their life. Just by au naturel, you know. But the system itself is, you know, Britain has signed up to the Genocide Convention. Almost every country in the world has signed up to the Genocide Convention. There's very few countries that haven't, and it's probably because they just can't afford to send ambassadors to the United Nations because they're so poor as countries. But, in that, it's against the law. If any country that signed it automatically states that within their law, the crime of genocide will be punishable. Bill Gates is still, you know, walking about around America where the Genocide Convention has been signed up to. And he did calculations to reduce the human population by 10 to 15% using, you know, quote, vaccines, healthcare and reproductive healthcare, to kill off 10 to 15% of humanity. That was the calculations that he did, and it was the calculations that he presented on a stage in a live public broadcast, a public internet website. TED is even something that's advertised by mainstream media. Bill Gates appeared in it. You actually witness them committing the crime of genocide. You know, or witness them acknowledging that he'd already did the calculations, which is a crime itself. And then, promoted it to the audience in a TED Talk. He's still at large in the United States, not under arrest. And there's people at the BBC that will tell you, oh, trust Bill Gates. Bill Gates, he's really, you're into computers, Bill Gates knows his shit. What do you know? Well, I know more than Bill Gates. I maybe not know as much as Tim Paterson, because Tim Paterson is the computer programmer, whereas Bill Gates is a businessman who was given vast amounts of money from IBM, who were involved in the original Nazi Holocaust in the 1930s, 40s. They developed a punch card system to assist to make it easier for the Jews. You know, the Holocaust was not the Jews. If you go to the International Red Cross version of the Holocaust, that was the officially acknowledged Holocaust truth at the day it was happening. The version of the reality of 6 million Jews dying in gas chambers is just a mainstream narrative that's been around since, you know, I was a kid. You know, that 6 million Jews dying in gas chambers was partially true, but so far from reality that, you know, it does the truth about the Holocaust a great injustice. You know, 6 million Jews, oh, and there's a few gypsies, but we'll not talk about them. You know, gypsies to this day are still being severely persecuted within the UK. And then there's travelling people, and they start making distinctions between, well you can't speak Roma, so therefore you're not a gypsy. And you're not part of the travelling community that does the shows, that owns all the you know, the big Arctic lorries with all the sort of, like, you know, the waltzers and stuff like that. And you're not a gypsy. And if you are a gypsy, well, people would think you're Romanian rather than Roma. You know, the version of what we are getting about the gypsies in our own country doesn't quite equate to, you know, the gypsies don't get a say in the mainstream media. The mainstream media doesn't even, you know, barely acknowledges the crimes committed against those people by the Nazis during the Holocaust. Barely acknowledges it. And, you know, there's people beyond the gypsies. Ordinary German people, the first victim of the Holocaust were Germans. And that's not the true story of the Holocaust, but it's the true story of the Holocaust according to the International Red Cross, that was there as a neutral, impartial authority that hadn't been on either side of World War II, that were asked to, you know, take some statistics about what's happened here. And we're living in a world where, you know, this, you know, support for Adolf Hitler is now, it's no longer just something, this seems a bit fascist, this seems a bit Nazi. And they would maybe gaslight you and say, like, nah, you're just imagining it. There are now people who are out and out, it's like, well, I think Hitler was a good guy, you know. Have you seen the greatest story never told? It's like 12 hours. And I have watched it, and it's just glorifying Hitler, you know. Because it's, you know, it's nice to get an alternative perspective, but, you know, there's stuff within it that's just so fucked up, and they're glorifying it like it's normal, you know. And I can see that there's points within it where they, you know, condemn what the Allies did, like the dam busters, or the bombing of Dresden, as they call it, you know. And it was kind of fucked up, but at the same time, a lot of the people that died in Dresden were in fact slaves of the Nazi regime, you know. It was maybe a bit gung-ho, it was the British had done that, you know. But you also see them, like, you know, condemning what the Allies done. It's like an interesting perspective, but they're glorifying evils that Hitler done. It's like, no, fuck off. But they're now more overtly supporting Nazi ideology. They're supporting Nazi ideology, but they're not prepared. They're saying it's unfair to draw parallels with the Nuremberg Code violations of 2007 and 2020, you know, the Netherlands suicide clinics and the COVID-19 vaccine pushers, and the various, you know, lockdowns, surveillance, propaganda, censorship, the iPhone apps, the organ harvesting, the various crimes against humanity that were committed against us in 2020 going, you know, up to the present day. They're saying it's wrong to draw parallels between that and the Nazis, but, you know, if you don't have any reason to, you know, you don't have a stake in the outcome to make it look like it's not Nazi, it does look like it's the Nazis, you know, it's Nazi policies. But, you know, they are, you know, there's a lot of the master race are kind of supportive of Nazi policies, but unwilling to admit that they're Nazi policies. It's, you know, you've not to call them Nazi policies and they're there for your own good. Even when it kills you, you know, even when it kills your granny and blames you for it. So, there are now also people who are, you know, openly supportive of the policies of Nazi Germany. So it's not just the ones that are concealing their support for these ideologies, which are probably the most dangerous. There are also people who are just out there saying, yeah, I support Adolf. And that to me is like, so why would you support your own slavery and death? And then you begin to realise it's like these people were actually working for the system. And that's when you begin to realise how precarious the situation that we're living in today is. Now, the gas chambers, only 250,000 people died in gas chambers, and it was the tail end of World War II. And, you know, the theory is that Hitler had to get rid of, you know, his slaves as quickly as possible because he realised his regime was collapsing, and if there was few witnesses to it, then there'd be more chance for something to survive out it. So the theory is that he used the gas chambers maybe about 1944 to basically kill them off quicker. And You know, that's maybe not understood by a lot of people, you know, who think, you know, 6 million Jews were killed in gas chambers when that's in Germany, and it's debatable whether that was true or not. They haven't even looked into the official, you know, International Red Cross version of the Holocaust. They've looked at the mainstream media's fake version of the Holocaust and then says, well, that's provably fake, therefore the Holocaust didn't happen and Adolf Hitler was a good guy. And the Jews are to blame for all the crimes against humanity that governments are committing right here, right now, regardless of religion or race, or if, you know, they're certainly not the ethnicity of the people they're enslaving, that's for sure. You'd never sell out your own people and make your own life better at the expense of ostensibly innocent people around about you, unless there was something, well, fucked up about you. If you're of my ethnicity, you would recognise it to be fucked up. You know, it's like a kind of ordinary, common or garden person, you know, destined to do a fucking shitty job and decides to join the cops. You know, it's fucked up in ways that can't be described to the sort of people who are mainstream media apparatchiks and fanatics, you know. And they would like to misrepresent me as a criminal because I don't like cops. Because, you know, my perception of right and wrong doesn't come from what clothes a person's wearing. So if a man in police clothes decides to, you know, force somebody to pay his friends £200 in money, it is what it is, you know. It's, there's no, I'm wearing my police uniform, so it's okay. And it's all officially, you know, supported and authorised by people who are completely unaccountable to me. Why would you join the cops if you knew right from wrong? Did you believe the narratives on your television? Did you join the cops and decide, wait a fucking minute, I'm not doing this job, I thought it was that? It's fair enough, like iconic David Icke, you know, that American guy that denounced the war on terror, despite, you know, serving. I mean, he wasn't serving the Americans or being patriot acted to death during that, you know. You know, Tony Blair wasn't serving the British by going to send soldiers to go and get slaughtered for his war on terror. And as for the European Union, you know, the BBC propaganda, you know, they want to recruit people to go and fight in Ukraine for the BBC's war in Ukraine. And Ukraine has always been, you know, well, it was a Cold War rival back in 1989. But, you know, back even further, Russia was a very strong ally, you know, during World War II. So, the way I'm looking at it, it's like, you couldn't just support the latest narrative in your media. You couldn't just, there has to be something that, you know, mentally impaired about you to not know that it's wrong when the government does what it's wrong for everybody else to do. Like, where do the people in government get the right to do stuff that nobody's got a right to do? So from whom do they derive their power to, I don't know, steal people's children, for example? They have the right to, yeah, my neighbour is, you know, punching her daughter. Did they have the right to, you know, abduct that child? And the state claims they've got the right to abduct that child, and you'll find that sometimes there has been no nefarious behaviour between parent and child, and the state intervenes when it's not welcomed, either by the daughter or the... And they say, well, where do you get the power to steal people's children like that? Oh, it's derived from the democracy. There is no democracy. These are people installed by television networks. That's got nothing to do with us. And we've never had the right to steal each other's children. So from whom do you derive this power to do this evil? And then they'll go on about, ah, but sometimes it can be good to take at it. So when I see a situation where a daughter is being punched by her parents, are you saying it's good then for me to abduct that child for the child's protection? And their attitude is, well, when the government does it, yeah, that's good, but when you do it, it's bad. And it's like, so where do you derive the power to do this from? Because it's not from me, because it'd be bad. But from yourself, how can it be good for you to do what's intrinsically bad from the people you're deriving this power from? Let's face it, it's not democracy. Your power is derived from those above enslaving us. You've joined in cahoots with them to steal people's children, to murder their women and children over in Ukraine, the various countries you invade, to starve peasants to death, tax them into the dirt, and keep them down, make up whatever rules and regulations you want, and you've joined that, and you think you're the good person. No, you're the evil people. You're the evil people that oppress humanity worldwide. I mentioned Tanzania and Belarus earlier for reasons which I'll go into just shortly. This is only going to be like an hour's long, but it's over an hour now. But Belarus and Tanzania during the lockdowns did not commit any human rights violations against people in their own country. And it's not newsworthy to the BBC that committed crimes against humanity against the domestic population of Britain. So thanks very much for listening.